I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 609, hi. Welcome back, thanks. Show number 1184. Bright sunny day in downtown Chicago, hopefully where you are as well. If you got up early enough this morning, and I've been up since 2:30, Venus was hanging out with the moon. Did you know that? It's like the moon's right here. Follow along on your radio. The moon's right here, and then Venus is right here. And actually, to scale, I think Venus was that close. Turn your mic on, Dave. We're on the radio.
My mic is on.
No, it's not, actually.
It's right here on.
He did his sports
there. Well, let me talk louder, Steve.
I'll say.
Oh, I wonder when I slam this if that might have had something to do with it.
Oh, hold on, man.
Try it now.
See? Hello?
There you go. Steve. Okay.
Hello. No, what I was wondering is if you have a telescope that cuts through clouds.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it.
Either that or I was super tired. Imagine the whole thing. Everybody have a nice couple days?
Yeah, how about you? Yeah, welcome back, bud.
Fine. All good. Scott Verplank, very nice guy. We on the Geezers tour. We played the Pro-Am yesterday. Vijay Singh won at a playoff, Dave?
He did, over Jeff Maggart.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Jeff Maggart, we were watching the guys warm up on Wednesday. Jeff Maggart hit one about 47 feet. And Pat Brady, a regular on this show, Pat Brady said, oh, look at that. That guy's not going to win. Maggart finished second in the playoff. And then over the weekend, as you would guess, I was hanging out with Eric from the Eric and who's he work with now?
Eric, Melissa, and Whip.
Yeah.
Eric, Melissa, and Whip?
Yep.
Yeah, so Eric Ferguson was the guest of one of the other members at White Eagle out in Naperville. So Eric Ferguson and I were both playing in this member guest tournament. And I'm telling you, if a bomb had gone off, there'd be two less people on the radio this morning. That's the entire damage it would have caused. So
who played better?
You or Eric? We're pretty similar.
Okay,
I am a 9 handicap. He's a 9 handicap.
What about the outfits? What was Eric wearing?
While he was playing golf, his partner was a ER doctor, good guy, Dr. Ilk. Ilk? Yeah, Ilk. I never knew how to pronounce his name, but he picked out their matching outfits.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, matching.
Is that
shirts.
Usually how it goes? You get matching?
A lot of guys were matching up. Yeah, a lot of guys wore matching outfits. I was not one of them.
No, you're not.
Pat Brady was my guest, and we did not wear matching clothes.
When I've played in ladies' member guests, there's always a theme. The last one I played in was tropical, and so everyone wants to dress tropical, except for I'm not into a theme. Mm-hmm. So I always just wear white, because then it goes with everybody's theme.
Right, sure.
But I always get a little bit of pushback from.
I always feel bad for the fat guys who end up in the pink shirts or the yellow shirts, because you know that's like whoever wants to team.
Right.
There used to be these theme shirts in this tournament that we had to wear, like you'd be assigned a color, which is a bad thing if you don't look good in that particular color.
And it gets, and I would assume it gets hot out there. It's hot this weekend. You get a little sweat spots.
Yeah. See, that's why I wear six, black. Seven, eight different shades of black.
Yeah,
that's pretty much my wardrobe. It's black. I got a couple of blues in there. Maybe a gray. But thanks to everybody at White Eagle. Did a nice job. And hi to my new friend, Eric Ferguson.
There you go. I'm surprised you guys weren't friends before.
Oh, no. We get along fine. I see him at Blackhawk games. We get along fine. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Either of you win any of the little hole contests, like closest to the pin, longest drive?
I won $100.
You want to? For what skill?
Well, it's obviously sexiest, and then second to that was it's called low. It's low score in a flight. It's hard to explain to non-golfers, but you're a golfer. You get it.
I do. Okay.
I was hoping it was something like longest drive.
I always think that one sounds cool.
You know what? I used to, in the Ron Santo tournament, I was a 3-time champion in longest drive, and this is against all the the professional athletes. And then I got old. And now,
I don't hit it so far anymore.
What about in the clubhouse? Who wanted air hockey?
There wasn't any air hockey. There was a lot of drinking.
Oh, there was. Okay, who wasn't drinking?
There was a lot of Dave Bennett there?
Dave Bennett was not there.
You know, Mary, that was so unnecessary for you to say that.
You know, Steve, Dave celebrated his 33rd wedding anniversary on Friday.
Well,
yeah.
And he and Karen were going to dinner at 5 p.m.
Well, that's because we were going to a show.
Right.
We weren't going to the early bird special.
How was the Metro train ride down?
It was great.
Yeah?
It
no trouble? No, no hooligans for the Taste of Chicago?
No.
Well, you always carry a shiv. You know, if anybody gives you any
nobody ever.
Remember that one time you stabbed a guy and he was just saying hello? Remember that time? Well, that was weird.
Yeah, that was overblown.
This week is Ross Cochran and Lauren Cochran's fifth wedding anniversary.
All right.
They've been married 5 years.
Wow.
Man, how about that? So happy anniversary to them, but we'll probably beat that into the ground later this week. As we speak, the president of Russia and the president of the United States, currently Donald Trump, are meeting in Helsinki. And we are waiting with bated breath or something close to that for the interpreter to give us some sort of leak. Do interpreters leak? Cool if they leaked.
No, they don't.
If the interpreter leaked and told us what was happening in this meeting, which Trump has tried to downplay and say it's not that big a deal. What the, why are we having a meeting?
Yeah.
If it's not a big deal, why are we having it?
And, you know, Vladimir Putin, I guess I was reading this thing this morning. He's done this before. He did this to President Obama as well. But he is already late. He was late to the...
Well, not only is he late... He also showed up with a bigger car. You talk about a measuring contest. He showed up, his beast, I'm talking about the car here, his beast is supposedly a few inches longer than the president's beast, the president's limo.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Absolutely.
Welcome to 2018.
So, all right, we'll get to the top six. Lots going on. Very busy couple of sports weeks. Serena lost on Saturday, Dave, in the semis. Who ended up winning in the women's in Wimbledon?
On Angelique Kerber.
Who?
Angelique Kerber.
Angelique Kerber. And you know what? Serena just never got going on Saturday.
In the final?
She just didn't look like herself. Which, you know, based on how she had played, I think everybody just expected her to walk through.
But
she just had a baby. She actually was breastfeeding during the match.
But it's not the baby. Steve, 9 months ago, right when she gave birth, she had pulmonary embolism. She almost died.
Right.
They had to have surgeries right after.
She is, to me, maybe the greatest athlete on the planet.
She is unbelievable. She is the greatest athlete. Oh my God, Steve Cochran, you're right.
She's unbelievable.
How about a little respect for the woman who beat her, though?
Angelique Kerber. Oh, she's amazing,
too. Because Serena beat six or seven people to get there and then lost in the final, right?
I think Serena's amazing. And on the male side, Djokovic?
Djokovic beat Kevin Anderson, who played at Illinois many years ago. And
Djokovic wanted to tell the crowd to effing shut up. Did you catch that? The crowd was very pro Kevin Anderson, and Djokovic was overheard on the too close to the microphone mic of the line judge tell the crowd to shut the F up. Mm. That's a great way to get
that's
Anderson.
Not a good thing. But you know, Anderson had just finished his semifinal with John Isner about 2 hours before the match, it felt like.
That was that six-hour deal?
That just went on and on, just like Isner's match years ago that took like 3 days.
Isner and Mahut?
Yeah.
That's the thing that they did the movie about. Adam, what's his name? The guy who's on SNL did the spoof movie.
Andy Samberg
did the movie about those guys in their 7 day match.
Yeah.
So, also, the British Open is this week, and we'll do our picks. So, Vandeveld, consider yourself warned.
Hello? Oh, there we are. I'm sorry, I was trying to talk earlier, and I don't think you could hear me.
I couldn't hear you.
Oh,
well, maybe I turned your microphone off, too.
How are you?
I dropped a television monitor on top of the control board here. That's how I started the show.
Oh, that's a problem. It's not starting.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I was gone last week. You were gone most of the week.
That's
so
true.
I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know. Seems like weeks.
Yeah, I'm full of mosquito bites, and I'm just... raring to go.
Oh, this is the Wisconsin mosquito attack?
Yeah, and the mosquitoes were awful. I probably have the Lyme's disease, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I don't even think you need to be tested.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Chicago police released body cam footage of the fatal officer perp shooting that prompted hours and hours of protests and physical altercations on the South Side on Saturday. The footage appears to show Harith Augustus break away from officers and attempt to pull a gun from a holster at his waist. He was shot dead in the street by police. The video, however, runs less than a minute and does not include sound, so it's unclear what exchanges occurred in the seconds before the shooting. The police superintendent, Eddie Johnson, wanted to get this out because Saturday night was so tense. There was concern that violence would spread throughout the city. Look, it's awful that this guy died. It's also awful that the police were in that situation because he was running away with a gun. No, we don't know what was said. We don't know what was exchanged. But yeah, and we also have to stop judging things based on video that we see as the public. Having said that, he has a gun on his waist, and he reaches for the gun. So it's not good on the Chicago
Police Department, right?
Yeah,
I mean, good on the fact that they released that video, because with the Laquan McDonald shooting, there was 300 and some odd days until we saw a video. So for the superintendent to talk about transparency and to actually follow through and commit to it and put video out, I think that's a good thing.
Right, and again, let's just try to be less judgmental in either direction, because we don't know, we weren't there. But you just got to hope that the video keeps people from causing more problems.
I just wonder, though, and the issue when you watch the video of the protests and you see the two sides being violent, that may not necessarily be about this particular barber, but you can sense the anger in the relationship between the community and the police.
Oh, I agree with you, but you know what?
That's really the play.
I totally agree with you, but you know what? You don't get to do that. You don't get to go, well, the police have always been tough on us in the neighborhood, so therefore, regardless of what happened here, we're striking back. It's not how it works. It just doesn't work that way. So, the getting along piece that Eddie Johnson addressed last time he was here is key. And that's why when Gary McCarthy was on last week, this is just an example of frankly how ridiculous the notion is that the mayor of the city would not pay attention to what the police are doing and allow the superintendent to just run the department.
Yeah,
it can't work that way.
It's hard. I mean, back to your point about, you know, we weren't there, so I don't know. But it does feel to me that when you watch that video of the protest, not necessarily the video of the police shooting, there's a lot of anger that seems to be directed at the police because of past relationships, and that this fits into a profile. And that's the issue, I think, that you see, because I don't think a young kid's going to go out there and be angry and be throwing rocks because of someone they didn't know on 71st Street. That's my only issue that makes me from a Chicagoan go, well, this is something that we should be paying attention to.
The scary thing, too, is how fast that escalated.
Right.
I mean, that thing within an hour and a half was spread throughout the city. It's social media. It's word of mouth. It's the trouble has never spread faster. I thought the Chicago Police Department did a pretty fantastic job in shutting it down without more people being hurt.
Yeah.
Next, President Trump, Vladimir Putin talking right now, holding their first formal summit meeting today in Helsinki. We'll talk much more about that later in the program.
Can I tell you a fact about Helsinki?
You have a Helsinki fact?
I do. I find this very interesting.
Helsinki, Finland, home of the Helsinkians.
There is absolutely no snow on the sidewalks or boulevards in central Helsinki because the city government heats the granite slabs from underground, so no snow or ice, so it immediately melts. I think that's a really nice thing.
We do that.
I know, right? Yeah.
Infrastructure.
Finland's north. You know, Finland's like super north. There's like north, and then there's Finland.
Well, Finland's alongside Norway.
Yeah, well, you know how north Finland is? It looks at Norway and goes, the weather's better there. That's how north Finland is.
But Norway, they have a series of tunnels underneath, like Oslo, and it's the same deal. The circulation helps keep the snow at a minimum. Just thought that.
I just looked it up. Finland people go to Norway for spring break.
Well, they do. Well, that's nice.
Finland people.
Do you remember when I told you? I think I told the story in here. Remember, I used to go to saunas, as the Finns call it. My mom's family was Finnish, and every Saturday night was a neighborhood sauna. And the women were on one side and the men were on the other, and then you'd run out and jump in a snowbank. And I stayed on the women's side until I was about 27.
Right.
No, I was literally like 10 years old before I went, you should probably go hang out with the men now.
This is every weekend?
I felt like every weekend.
But it was a family tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, that's one word for it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about Finnish.
Well, you go into this room, and there's rocks, and you pour boiling water over the rocks, and steam fills the room, and you sweat.
And you knew
and there's other
in the
people
room.
Who are sweating.
And pretty much because of the community you lived in, you knew everybody in the room.
So yeah, like, I had relatives in there, right. And I had other people in there.
You're in very tight quarters.
Very tight quarters. Yeah. Like, I just think, like, well, there was weekends for us might be, I don't know, barbecue and playing 16-inch softball. For you, it was getting down to your skivvies.
Explains a lot.
Oh, head to the sauna. Yeah. Next. Investors and banks are beginning to file foreclosure cases again in Puerto Rico. Several moratoriums end a year after Hurricane Maria. The foreclosure machine ground to a halt in Puerto Rico after the devastation caused by Hurricane Maria in September. But it's cranking up again. Island residents who fell behind in their payments to facing creditors ranging from Wall Street to the federal government. Over the past 4 months, nearly 300 new foreclosure actions were filed in federal court in San Juan in local courts across the island. You can't use the storm as an excuse if you have the ability to pay, but you have nothing to pay for if your home was wiped out and you deserve and need a break.
I always think about it like if it happened here. I mean, if something like that happened and your house was destroyed, I would think that it would be difficult to stay on the regimen to pay.
Keep paying for a house that's not there.
Yeah. And I just wonder about what kind of federal assistance. Obviously, the moratorium is being relaxed and everything could go bonkers there. But
well, we've done a really poor job of taking care of
Puerto Rico. I wonder if there's a way. I don't know if there is a way because that's capitalism, but a way to deal with banks at the federal level to say, hey, chill out. Cool out for just a second. Let's get everybody up on their feet, and then we can get back to the business of getting rich.
In this case, you literally need 2 years. You need 2 years, and if it's a private business that's holding the mortgage, that's tougher than if it's a giant bank.
We had the kid from the Army who was on with us not too long ago, who was in Puerto Rico and part of the deployed there to help, and he told the story that it was not like the reports of everyone getting back on their feet and that the island is doing well are way exaggerated.
Yep.
And from his perch
in the American Army.
Like it wasn't some, he's not an advocate.
No.
You know, like that kind of thing.
Ana Balaval has told us the same thing. We should probably get Ana back on.
She was just in Puerto Rico visiting her family.
As she would tell you, she's lucky because her parents are in a good position and her brother and his family. But we'll see if we can get an update from her because she's obviously in contact with her home all the time. Next. Amazon Prime Day begins today. Anybody buy anything yet?
No, but I'm going to go to Whole Foods because you'll get $10 off for being a Prime member.
But don't you get that all the time?
No.
Not the $10. You get a $10 credit today. Okay. You get the 10% off every other day.
Right. Here's the catch for that, Mary. You have to download the Whole Foods app on your phone.
Oh, I have it.
Yep.
I have it. I've been using it already.
Yeah, me too.
Saved like 52 cents on some Rainier cherries.
Whole 52 cents.
Yep.
So $10 off whatever I buy at Whole Foods today?
Yeah.
So like if I got an ear of corn, which is $27.50, I could get it for $17.50?
Well, yeah, no, I think you have to spend probably a little bit more.
You get Beyond Burgers.
Well, that's true.
Oh,
right?
Beyond.
Boy, they're always
just
out.
Stock up on them.
Every time I go in, they're out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You want me to pick some up for you?
That'd be great.
Okay.
Next. The French won their second World Cup title Sunday, beating Croatia 4-2. 2-1 at the half, and you thought, well, yeah, this is a good game. Suddenly it's 3-1. It's 4-1. Things are out of control. Mbappe's running around like a knucklehead named Mbappe.
That guy.
From a video game.
My parents' cat was named Killian, so they love Mbappe.
There you go. And Croatia got a goal to make it 4-2. Still had, I don't know, Dave, what was it, 20 minutes left at that point?
Yeah.
They couldn't get any closer. So France wins their first World Cup since 1998. Significant for all the obvious reasons and for the fact that the last time they won the World Cup, their manager, their head coach, if you will, was a co-captain of that World Cup winning team in 1998. Thank you.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Belgium has had their best finish yet.
Belgium did very well.
Mm-hmm. So,
without a doubt. Finished third, beat England in the consolation game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
One more, and it's a tough story. Ray Emery was found in a swimming pool in his hometown of Hamilton, Ontario.
A lake.
Oh, I thought it was a pool.
It's a lake.
Sorry. This was Sunday. He was 35 years old. He has had addiction issues in the past. There's no reason to believe that was related to anything related to this accident. He had a phenomenal year. And I believe, was it 2011, 2012, where he won 17 and lost one? Had a goals against average of like 1.93. He was amazing. And then similar to Scott Darling with the salary cap, you can't keep him. He ends up going to the Flyers. And did he finish with the Flyers, or did he move around from there?
I think he finished with the. He actually finished in the American Hockey League, okay. I believe. But he finished. He played for the Senators, played for the Blackhawks, the Flyers. I think last. Yes, that was his last NHL stop.
He's a great goalie, man.
Yeah, he was, and it's been very poignant to see some of the reaction from some of his former teammates too on social media. Yeah. They really well liked the guy.
Dr. Kevin Most coming up. Let's come back with your headlines in a moment. We're keeping an eye on the summit. Not that we'll get any information, but we'll tell you what we don't have when we don't get it, coming up on 720 WGN.
That's it! That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Good morning, Dr. Kevin Most. Let's find you here on the phone. Good morning, Doctor. Let's go ahead and turn the phone on the radio. Good morning, Doctor.
All right, for the third time. How are you doing, Steve?
We have an interesting problem here. We have a bright, sunny sunrise over Lake Michigan, and the sun is blasting through the windows. Mm. And the sun is reflecting off the control board, and it's difficult to tell what's on and what's not.
That's why you turned Dave's mic off earlier?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We're trying to get through health insurance over these next, you know, several weeks, frankly, because it takes way longer than that. But let's do some background here. I did not know this. Medicare started just in the 60s.
Correct, yeah. Medicare was actually signed in 1965 by Lyndon Johnson. You know, the Social Security Act was started in 1935 by FDR, but it was right in the middle of the Depression, and he didn't feel that putting health care in that was a great idea at the time, and the burden to the finances of the country would have been devastating. And then Truman said, hey, I'm going to bring this back up, and in his State of the Union, he talked about his fair deal, which included health care, but unfortunately at that time, he didn't have enough support in Congress and Senate to get that covered, and then finally Lyndon Johnson did it in 1965. So people think, oh, it's been here forever. No, it really hasn't. It's not, you know, almost kind of in its infancy still.
There's Part A, there's Part B. We can give you a little brief history on that when we come back. We'll talk about the difference between Medicare and Medicaid and some commercial insurance issues to get into as well, and traditional insurance. But having said all that, before we get back with all of that, what is the state of Medicare right now?
It is still in good shape. You know, we still pay into it as us working bees. You know, you'll look and you'll see in your paycheck, you know, that there's a line there for Medicare. So it's not as sound as we'd like it to be, probably much more sound than Social Security. And some of the changes that they're going to try to make in Medicare are ones that are going to try to curtail some costs, which will help to make sure that it continues to go on. You know, compensation for hospitals and compensation for doctors obviously is very flat, if not declining. So it's probably, I would say, sound right now.
And in regards to doctors getting paid, that becomes less and less each year, doesn't it?
It does. You know, there's increases, but the increases don't coincide with the cost of living increases or any of the other increases that go on. So they're very, very minimal. Same with the hospitals. You know, hospitals are get paid by something called a DRG, a diagnosis-related group. So we get a set amount of money to take care of an individual for their care here in the hospital, regardless of how much money the hospital spends on that individual.
More with Dr. Kevin Most on the wild and wacky world of health insurance coming up. Oh, after 7 o'clock this morning, Ryan Nobles will give us some perspective from CNN on the ongoing Putin-Trump summit underway now in Helsinki, Finland. Dean later as well. Well, we've got a report on the British Open coming up. Stand by for that. Doc, did you play golf this weekend? Oh, I'll get back to Doc on that. Apparently, I put him on hold. That's what happens when I get up at 2:30. Who knows what these buttons and switches do? Dr. Kevin Wells, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. What's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid?
Medicare is for those over the age of 65 and some with other chronic illnesses, and Medicaid is for lower-income individuals in each state. The plans are totally, totally different, but that's the basic premises. Medicare, over 65. Medicaid, for those who could not afford insurance, did not get offered insurance at their workplace, or are lower income.
Medicaid is a federal and a state program?
Correct. Yeah, most people don't understand that, but it is. Medicaid is partially funded by the federal government, partially funded by the state. And it varies, so each state kind of gets to make up its own rules. The federal portion of it is based on your per capita income as well as your population. So in states like Illinois, we pay a dollar. The federal government pays $1.05. In Wisconsin, they pay a dollar. The federal government pays $1.40. So it's funded differently in each state, and it's not as portable as you would think. You'd think, oh, I have Medicaid. I can get care anywhere.
Yeah, we just went through this with my brother.
Exactly. So those are state programs, and the only care you can actually get anywhere is emergency care, as you can with any insurance plan.
Dr. Most, where does the issue get political? We're at the intersection of this whole debate over Medicaid, Medicare, and universal health care. Where does the politics play in this?
The politics probably comes more into the Medicaid portion of it than the Medicare portion of it. Medicare is essentially going to always be there. Medicaid is the one where we're saying, do you have to have the individual mandate? Must you have insurance? These are individuals who are often living paycheck to paycheck and now are being forced to go on to the marketplace and buy insurance if they fell in this gap between having being able to get Medicaid and not having Medicaid. That's where the politics falls. The politics falls in those people that we call the gap people. They make too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but they don't make enough money to actually go out and buy insurance.
Right. Obamacare, the last major health plan the government was a part of, was the Bush prescription plan, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah, you know, we found, especially for Medicare patients, sure, you can give them insurance, and as they get sick and they need to get on medication, they couldn't afford the medication. So Medicare Part D, the drug portion of it, was signed in 2003 by, as you said, President Bush, which allowed now for Medicare to at least build a formulary, set some tiers, and allow medications to be much more affordable so that seniors actually took the medications that were prescribed to them, which increased their quality of life, extended their life, et cetera.
Well, let's say Justin comes to WGN as an employee. He's offered a certain amount of money.
I got a swipe card.
And yeah, but your card doesn't work. And you got a meeting later about that. But he's offered a certain amount of money, and then as an added benefit, he's offered benefits. We walk around in this country thinking health insurance is something that employers have to supply, and it's mandatory for companies to do that, which is not the case, right?
Correct. You know,
it's a competitive thing. Like, I'm going to hire you over this company because my benefits are better?
Absolutely. It's exactly what it was. Here's our health care plan. Here's our health care benefits. We are going to be more attractive than the guy down the street. You come to work for us. You might make the same amount of money, but our benefits are better. And it's very interesting now because companies are kind of almost going the other way. They're almost going the full swing and saying, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to pay you more. Now you go get your benefits. We want to get out of the insurance business. There's marketplace insurance here now. So you go out and buy your insurance. So instead of us giving everybody in the company the same plan, we're going to give you an amount of money. You go out and decide which plan you want to be in.
All right, so there's tons of interesting stuff here in the notes that we post. And by the way, the only guy I know that could make health insurance interesting, Doc, but you did. This stuff gets posted with the podcast. So you listen to the podcast of this segment. There's an attachment there for the notes that Dr. Most sends us before the show. So we're giving people the basics of these various insurances. Let's talk about specifics in a way that people can maybe relate to. Dave is approaching the end of his career, depending on how today's show goes.
Okay. Really? It's Monday, Steve. Give me at least a chance to get through the week.
Once he gets...
Wow.
Well, if you were to leave WGN, all I hear from people is Cobra is impossible if I were to get fired, and self-insurance is through the roof. Is that getting worse?
Yeah, that probably is. You know, COBRA is very expensive. People don't understand that when they get their health benefits from their company, what percentage is actually paid for by their company. Once you leave the company has to offer you what they call COBRA. It allows you to continue on your insurance after you've left their employee. But you have to pay the premium now. So you start to realize, oh my gosh, that was a huge benefit for me because now I'm paying, you know, $2,000 a month. And before it used to be, you know, $150 out of my paycheck. So it really showed how much that the companies were paying there. But it's interesting. Dave's probably approaching 65. He's going to have to make a decision 3 months before his 65th birthday or 3 months after to sign up for Medicare. And I would suggest he does.
He's really loaded, though. He probably shouldn't take the system.
I have a few years.
I
like to point that out.
I said that, Dave.
But I mean, Dave is loaded.
So, Doc, where should I start looking for COBRA?
They have to, Dave, actually, the HR department will have to offer you that. You don't even have to look for it.
Oh, okay.
They will come to you for that.
Oh, that's a relief.
But a lot of people, though, instead of taking COBRA, are actually going straight to the marketplace.
All right, let me talk about the marketplace for a second, because you have John DeCoste here. John is a stand-up comedian. He tours the country like some sort of carnival sideshow freak. And as he's traveling around the country, you know, he actually has a wife who does very well and supports him and, you know, keeps him in the fancy clothes that he wears. If John needed to provide health insurance for himself and he goes to the marketplace, that's crazy expensive, isn't it?
It can be. It definitely can be. It's going to be based on, you know, how much money you make. There's that can be much of a subsidy for someone like John. So he is going to pay quite a bit. If, you know, health insurance is very expensive. Now, you said, you know, his wife does very well. I'll tell you, there's a lot of companies now that are saying, hey, instead of getting insurance from us, your wife has a great job. Why don't you get insurance from them? So, you know, companies now are trying to take double income families and try to push the insurance back to the other spouse. You know, say, hey, compare the plan that your wife has at her company. It may be better than ours because that cost will go down.
Doctor, my policy is through the farmer's market in our town.
Yeah. That's where you get the green peppers for 50 cents instead of a dollar?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's also subscription care. Obviously, traditional insurance has been discussed, but there's something called narrow networks you need to know more about. And on it goes, HMOs, PPOs. There's a million different things here, but Doc breaks it down very specifically. I would recommend checking out Doc Most Notes this week more than any other time I've told you to do that. It's great education every week, but we will continue this, Doc, because there's way too much to get through. Next week, we'll continue more on this health insurance stuff. And in the meantime, I would encourage people to reach out on Twitter at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. If you have a specific question that relates to the provider side of health insurance, then I would recommend you send it to us. And Doc will try to collect a few of those for you for next week.
That would be great.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
You got it. Take care.
Dr. Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. And we're back after this with the news on 720 WGN.
I got it. I'm Pat Stitt.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Live in the brand new Allstate Skyline Studios at 303 East Wacker. If you're in a neighborhood, well, you can't get to us. But we're on the 18th floor looking down on you, and appreciate you listening, and thank you for the support. All right, so there's a guy who calls the show all the time. He's got nothing but conspiracy theories, and I'm tired of him calling the show all the time, so I'm going to put him on the air.
Always smart.
Counterproductive.
Yeah, no, that seems like the right thing to do.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? In the meantime, I've got a blatant plug for one of my favorite golf courses, Cantini Golf Club. What are you giving away?
On Friday at 7:10, I'm going to give away a foursome to Cantini Park, featuring 27 holes of championship golf with three unique golf experiences in Wheaton.
Three separate nines, each of the nines different, unique, fabulous. It's a great golf course.
Book your tee time at cantini.com or call 630-668-8463. And we're doing that because we always give away a foursome on weeks we do picks for championships.
And the only rub there is you got to bring me with, who've never golfed in his life.
Yeah, why? How have you never played golf?
This is not a thing where I came
and
from.
And he revealed to us
you came from. You came from Chicago.
Wonder Lake, Illinois was not a big golf. There wasn't a lot of extra income to be throwing at golf.
So then we came downtown.
And then I became a hipster, downtown hipster, who did not have a car.
I don't buy it. The excuses aren't good enough.
I think Justin seems like the type that probably, until joining this show, didn't care for people that played golf.
No, I don't know. That's absolutely
true. He's not denying it.
That's wrong. I love all people.
By the way, I'm leaving here early because I have to go play golf.
Dave has an outing today, and he's already wearing his ascot before he gets there. He's picking up Lovey on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's decked out in Northwestern gear.
So we got to do our British Open picks when? Wednesday?
We're doing their picks on Wednesday, but we're giving away the foursome at Cantini on Friday at 7:10.
Cool.
Okay, good. All right, conspiracy theory guy. It's 7:20 coming up. We're doing the MVPP again today.
MVPP.
Is this another surprise one, or do I get to know today?
They're all surprises.
I like the surprise, yeah.
We like to surprise you, Steve, because you like it.
Yes. Oh, I'm a big fan of surprises, yes. The MVPP coming up in a little bit. All right, so there's this conspiracy guy who calls all the time. He texts all the time. Oh, he's got this conspiracy theory, that conspiracy theory. I'm taking a shot here, and maybe this will end it. Good morning.
Good morning. Listen. Just listen to me, Steve.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on. Finally.
What do I call you? What is your name?
No. No middle names. No middle names.
Well, not middle name. What do I call?
Just refer to me as Robert Malamoustakis.
All right.
Okay. Good.
Bob.
No, Robert Blake Malamoustakis. No middle names.
All right, fine. I'll just call you Bob. All right, so we've got the presidents, Putin and Trump, hanging out together in Helsinki. This very tense time politically. And I swear, every time I look at the text, there's another conspiracy from you. So what's the deal?
Here's the deal. Listen. Just listen, okay? Just listen. This started in Britain. I found this out in Britain, but right now, 12 million Americans believe this, that lizard people, a.k.a. reptilians, are running the world. You got this?
Okay.
You got this?
Okay, yeah.
So just hang on to your hat. Listen,
well, let me make a note of these, then.
Just
okay.
Listen.
Reptilians are running the world. Do you have another one?
No. Let me give you my background on this. You got to look at it. I found this is true. Trump, okay? Trump, he's a Crotophidius collaris. That's the scientific name. That's a flapped redneck chameleon. You got this? Okay?
Don't know what that is.
And I'm telling you, just hang on. Hillary Clinton is a uragitis plantar fasciitis.
All right, so here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do, because I've got to do something here, but keep talking. Just keep talking. I'll come back to you in just a second.
So he's going to be really concerned if he's listening to the show later. We have 4-H kids coming in at 9:10 that are bringing reptiles.
Did you know this, Steve?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So if he hears that reptiles are on the show, this is only going to
be. He might be onto something.
Conspiracy.
But he also might be onto something. It's like he's got
that
mind meld.
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
Let me go back to him, see if he's still talking.
Get this. Putin is an Andrea Bella Dallas, Andrea Darlis.
That's conspiracy guy. What's his name, Bob? Was it Bob?
Bob Mastophysicus?
Yeah, Bob Mandible.
Bob Blake, yeah.
All right, so we'll just call him Bob. Yeah, we'll just call him Bob. Bob. He's still on hold. So I'll check back with him occasionally and just see if he's still got more conspiracy theories to share with us.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That's the guy I get most confused for. People say Bruno. I go, no, it's Steve. Yeah, me and Bruno Mars.
Oh, right.
All the time.
They all think you're doing Lollapalooza coming up. Bruno Mars, the headliner at Lollapalooza.
What day is he playing?
I don't know. Probably Saturday night.
When we saw him.
Well, that's not accurate enough.
I don't know.
Well, you have a computer. Look it up.
Yeah, all right. I'll look it up.
When we saw him last August with the kids, when he came out on stage, the kids were like, what is Steve Cochran doing at the Bruno Mars?
Well, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how often the confusion goes that way. You know, another guy I get confused for a lot is Bruce Willis. And Bruce Willis was roasted last night. I don't know how long it takes them to turn these around. And Demi Moore, his ex, allegedly showed up as a surprise. Now, it clearly wasn't a surprise because he happened to have four or five Demi jokes ready to go when he stood up. But she was very funny.
You're not a divorce person. I'm just saying you always have jokes ready to go.
Oh, is that right?
Just so you know. Yeah,
okay.
So
you're always prepped.
Yeah, you are.
And yesterday was also the 30th anniversary of Die Hard. That's why they did the, that's all kind of around that same
30 run. Years? And God, that battery has been around that long? 30 years
ago? I watched it. I showed Miles Die Hard. And there is a...
That's a Nakatomi Towers.
There are two things that I pulled from that movie watching it. Three. One, it's the best movie of all time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Second, a very liberal use of the F word.
Yeah.
It seems like every line that Bruce Willis has to have the F word in it. Mm-hmm. And three, I wonder where our fascination with guns come from. There is there are probably 6,000 bullets used in this for no reason. It's just a cacophony of machine gun bulletry.
You remind me of a story that popped up this weekend. You may have seen it, but I've got to find it. Somebody totaled up the dollars in death damage caused by The Rock in all of his movies.
I did see Skyscraper this weekend as well.
And you're one of the few, apparently. It was disappointing at the box office. Was the theater full when you were there?
Yeah, it was not full. There were about five people in there. And the projector...
Please tell me The Rock made it out okay.
And the projector didn't work to start, which was... So the movie was 15 minutes late. Now, they gave us a complimentary ticket, so I can go see it again.
I thought you were going to see Ant-Man.
No, we decided on Skyscraper because of the opportunity to enjoy senseless summer.
As opposed to the serious docudrama of the Ant-Man?
He got a message on Friday from his wife that said that Miles had approved seeing Ant-Man for the evening.
Right.
Miles had signed off on it.
Right.
So
Miles signed
I hope
off.
He signed off on the change.
He signed off on Skyscraper. And then watching Die Hard is just coincidence. We watch it later. It was on HBO. Total ripoff. Skyscraper rips off like 15 of the scenes from Die Hard. And then I looked up the reviews and they said it's a ripoff of Die Hard.
Yeah.
They forgot the formula. That's the
problem.
I liked Skyscraper, though.
There's about 200 movies that steal from Die Hard.
Yeah. My man crush by far is The Rock. He can do no wrong.
In that movie, doesn't he say yippee-ki-yay?
He pretty much does. I mean, it's one-liner.
That's where they
mother
went wrong.
Truckers.
They should have used the F-word more.
They should have used the F-word more.
Skyscraper.
Right. But please tell me The Rock's okay.
The Rock is okay.
Okay.
He saves the world.
Today's MVPP, the most valuable person on the planet, is...
Dun, dun, dun.
Kylian Mbappe.
Yay.
Kylian Mbappe, the 19-year-old superstar from the gold medal, no, from the World Cup winning France national team. France. Kylian Mbappe, who lit up the World Cup. Even though he's well known on professional soccer circuits around the globe, he took it to a new level. Because Dave, I think you know this. Dave, by the way, is live in Russia this morning at the site of the final. Dave, I think you know this. You can do anything you want in the Premier League or the Champions League or anywhere in the world in soccer. But until you win a World Cup, you have not arrived at the level of the most elite. And here's this kid, 19
years old. Steve, I'm having a little trouble hearing you amidst the crowds here on the Champs-Élysées.
Yes, I can imagine. Oh, you're in France now.
What? That's what you just said.
No, you're in Russia.
Oh, I was in Russia.
Now
I'm sorry.
Took the red ice.
Yeah.
So you're there on the Champs-Élysées right there?
Yes,
the
right
street?
There.
Yeah.
People are very excited.
What did you say? Delisse?
He's there on the Champs-Élysées, the street named after Champs-Élysées. Yes.
Champs-Élysées. When they won the World Cup before, Champs-Élysées was a striker.
I understand, Dave. Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Steve.
I understand that they projected the images of Mbappe and his teammates on the Arc de Triomphe. As a celebration of the victory.
The Arc de Triomphe, yes.
The
I
Arch
saw
of
that.
Triumph.
Yes.
It's right there on your Champs-Élysées. Your Champs-Élysées runs right under the Arch Triumph.
Under the Arch.
Yes.
Yes.
And Kylian Mbappe scored 4 goals this year as France claimed its second World Cup. Did you know... Was he even born in 1998?
Yes, he was, because there's a Nike ad right now, which I think is a little bit subpar for Nike. It says, 98 was a great year for French football. Kylian was born.
So he was born the year the last time the French won the World Cup.
Yeah. There you go.
If I can break in real quick to Dave, who's in. Dave, if you can hear me, I don't know if you can hear
Justin.
Me. Bruno Mars is playing on Friday at Lollapalooza.
Is that probably Friday?
It's probably Friday.
What are you running, a 2.8 modem over there? That took a while.
I wanted to check it out. It's a ding dong, ding dong.
By the way, I just saw Dave on the TV screen. He's wearing way too much Moulin Rouge.
He is. He is. Kind of makes him look different. Did you know Mbappe didn't take a dime from the World Cup check that he earned? Nothing.
He just took cash?
No, nothing.
Well, he hasn't had time to spend it yet.
Donated his earnings from the tournament to a charity that gives free sports instruction to hospitalized and disabled kids.
Good for him.
That's a nice kid.
Well, he still gets an allowance from his parents.
Right, exactly.
So he doesn't need that.
Wasn't Mbappe a rock artist in the 90s?
Oh, you're thinking of Mbop.
Oh, that's Mbop. That's right.
Yes, sir. Mbop.
Mbop.
The organization also coordinates disability awareness campaigns for schools and businesses, according to the French news outlet L'Equipe. After consulting with his entourage, why is everything French? Mbappe decided the World Cup premiums can serve a humanitarian cause. He sounds like a nice kid.
He does sound like a nice kid.
Mbappe, 19 years old. And I believe he made $16 million this year.
Something like
that. Sounds why he like can it. Donate
that's about
check.
Right, yeah. 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 Which isn't bad.
It's funny, he brought up the Mbop. That's the Hanson Brothers. You know, I used to work for Steve Dahl, and he did a show at the House of Blues in that little restaurant part underneath the big venue.
Mm-hmm.
And in the big venue, there was Hanson Brothers were performing. And when the Mbop song would happen.
Did Dahl open for the Hanson Brothers?
He did not, because we were below them, but the floor, they bounce up and down, all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the floor, the ceiling was bouncing up and down all during the Dahl concert, and that was driving him crazy and put him in a really bad mood during his show.
Also, it's
why
just
can't
Hanson.
We all just get along?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Hanson Brothers.
Hanson, sorry.
Wait, aren't
Hanson.
They Hanson Brothers from Slapshot?
Yeah, that's the Slapshot Brothers. Okay. Hanson is the band.
I thought the Hudson Brothers were from Slapshot.
I'm confused.
Something different, darling.
Am I wrong?
So congratulations. The MVPP is Kylian Mbappe from the France national team. Dave, you want to say goodbye from Paris?
Yeah, reporting live from the Champs d'Elysee.
The Champs d'Elysee.
The Champs d'Elysee. Dave at WGN Sports.
We'll come back in a moment. Oh, I should remind you as well that we have for you this truck, this Centennial Edition Chevy, and we'd like you to win it. So if you'd like to win it, and you should because it's cool, go to WGNradio.com/contests, and you can. So just keep that in mind, won't you, going forward? Justin, you want to give away the Blackhawks passes today?
Yeah, of course. Blackhawks, we've got, of course, the Blackhawks passes for the convention coming up here. Man, it's just like time is flying in the sense that it's the 27th to the 29th, courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Book your convention passes and hotel guest rooms online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. It is the 27th. Today is the 16th, so that's 11 days from now. What goes into 11? One, two ones. So then you take those two ones five times over, and I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's told one, seven. Seventh caller. 7,200. Seventh caller.
All right. Thank you, Justin, for that clear and concise explanation.
Yep.
Ryan Nobles from CNN coming up. We'll tell you the winner. It could be you if you're the seventh caller now at 312-981-7200. The summit is on. They got to be done talking by now, don't they? They're only going to go for an hour. We'll see if Ryan Nobles has some updated information from CNN in a few minutes. But we'll get the headlines from Steve next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And Ryan Nobles will join us here in just a moment. Stand by for that. It's Amazon Prime Day. Is it just today?
Yeah.
It's got to order everything 36
today? 36 hours. It's going to run 36 hours.
Have you bought anything yet?
I have a couple of things that are in my box, in my cart this morning.
I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of press for a $10 coupon.
Well, there are other sales on Prime items. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
If I were Jewel right now, if I were the Jewels.
The Jewels?
I'd be all over it. I'd be getting $12 and free Monopoly pieces.
Yeah, the $10 is just Whole Foods.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of good stuff.
Like, for instance, there's a giant ladder I've had my eye on, an industrial ladder.
What do you need to climb?
Well, I did some climbing yesterday thanks to a neighbor's ladder, so I thought I would go and buy
my own. John Belushi? You're trying to look in windows? What are you doing?
I did go up about 20 feet to get a bird's nest out of my dryer vent yesterday.
Oh, sure.
The ladder that I have my eye on was $350, and it's on sale today for $119.
Wow. Nice. Well, here's the thing about a ladder. You finish the job you got the ladder for, and you go, I don't know the next time I'm going to need a ladder. Then you got to figure out where to put your ladder.
Right. Probably next year when another bird's nest appears.
The only reason you need a ladder is for everyone else to borrow your ladder.
You also might want to get a bunch of Alexa, the Dots. The Dots are on sale for $20. And you can get one for every room, so you can listen to WGN radio.
I think, that's the new radio. That's the new in-house radio. I think I paid $179 or something for my original Alexa.
Well, you overpaid.
I could have gotten, what, 9 Dots for that?
Does Abigail have her own little Dot?
Yeah, she's very cute.
They also have the cool
new...
She has
a bunch of Dots.
They also have the cool new, I think it's called the Dot. What is it called that has the video display on it?
Yeah.
So that you can have a video conference with Grandma and Grandpa right from your living room.
Oh, it's called the Internet.
Yeah, but it's something that's connected through Amazon.
Yeah.
Ryan Nobles joins us from CNN. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? I know that Prime Day for me is keeping my wife away from the Internet as long as humanly possible.
You say that, but that's just cover for you, because you're going to go buy stuff, and you're going to blame her.
You're probably right. Yeah, probably right. That's the beauty of the joint account.
Now, you have about 37 children. How old is the oldest?
I have an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a now year-and-a-half-old. We don't describe him in months anymore.
The 8-year-old is probably old enough to want something off Amazon, right?
Oh, yeah, and they are very adept with Alexa. She can just yell at Alexa and tell her to buy her something. So we have to be very careful about that. Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, it'd be fun in your house. I would teach the kids to say, get Wolf Blitzer a new whatever. You know, and they're running up your credit card with presents for Wolf.
Well, my 5-year-old is a huge fan of Wolf Blitzer. She refers to him as the Wolf. And whenever anybody asks her who her favorite person is on CNN, she doesn't say Daddy. She says the Wolf.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
Hey, Ryan, you can get your kids one of those giant keyboards that they used in a big piano keyboard.
Yeah, right. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on sale for $30.52.
$30?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What kind of price is that? $30.52.
That's Amazon Prime.
All right, so Ryan, here's the deal. 12 Russians get indicted. We know that they are officers of the highest order, and that we know that they don't act without being told to act and getting permission from Vladimir Putin. In a real world, Ryan, not the world we're living in, but in a real world, that would have been enough to cancel this meeting that's now underway. So what do we know about what's going on? And do we know if the president's brought up anything of consequence yet?
Well, so far what's happened this morning is they had kind of a photo op. Well, I should say the first thing that happened this morning is that Vladimir Putin showed up an hour late, which is straight out of the Donald Trump playbook. Normally he's the one that shows up an hour late. Vladimir Putin showed up an hour late. They had kind of a glad-handing photo op session where President Trump, heaps praise on Vladimir Putin and said that he hoped they would be able to work things out and that a good relationship with Russia is better than a bad relationship with Russia. And now they've been behind closed doors, and they've been behind closed doors for a good amount of time now. They're scheduled to talk for at least an hour and a half.
Just the two of them with interpreters or one interpreter?
Just the two of them with interpreters. I believe there's an American interpreter and a Russian interpreter.
You would hope.
Now, I should also say that while the meeting with Vladimir Putin and President Trump is happening, there are also concurrently meetings happening with lower-level diplomats at the same time. So there are still conversations going on the lower levels. But it essentially is just President Trump and Vladimir Putin in there, and that is because President Trump was concerned that if he had one of his advisors in the room, that they might not be willing to be as open to a conversation with Vladimir Putin as he might be, and he was afraid that one of his advisors might cut him off or prevent him from having the type of conversation that he wanted to have with him, which I think is pretty extraordinary. And then the other point I would make this morning is that, and of course, this is the world we live in now, but on Twitter this morning, President Trump tweeted that he was, basically put the blame on a poor Russia-U.S. relation on all previous administrations and the Russia investigation, and which I think is just an incredible moment. The Russian Foreign Ministry quoted that tweet and simply said, "We agree." So that was kind of ridiculous. The basis of where we went into this conversation today. To say that Vladimir Putin has the upper hand, I think that any global analyst would tell you is just exactly what's happening.
Well, he's writing the material for him. I mean, it's, you know, he's making life easy for him. And here's what you don't want. You don't want him coming out doing this press conference in a couple hours where he says, we recognize the Ukraine. We don't care where the Iranians are. And if they want to get closer to the Israeli border, that's fine with us. And all the other dangerous things he could say. Now, I don't anticipate any of them are going to be put that bluntly, but that's what the world's worried about.
Yeah, and then the other thing, too, is that, you know, this whole idea of Russian meddling, you know, the president has said over and over again that he's going to bring it up, you know, that he's going to say, did you meddle in the election? And basically, the president's already established a premise here where he said that, you know, Vladimir Putin's basically just going to deny it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This came up this weekend, and my head exploded. It's not a question. It's a statement.
Right.
It's not, did you meddle? It's, you did meddle. And since you meddled, don't ever do it again, because here's what's going to happen.
Exactly. And he also has, at, you know, if he needed the wind at his back to formally confront Putin, he could throw this indictment of Rod Rosenstein on his lap and say, look it, this is what your people did. And it can't happen again. And if it happens again, there are going to be serious consequences. We're considering even more serious consequences. And furthermore, hand over these 12 people who, by the way, work directly for you. Let them come to the United States and stand trial because they violated our laws and you tried to interrupt our democracy. There's just really no indication that anything like that's going to happen.
Yeah, there has been, Ryan. There's precedent here. I mean, American presidents meet with Russian presidents all the time, and even closed door with just interpreters, the famed Gorbachev-Reagan meetings of the 80s, that happened as well. But there's a question about how long, and the center, there used to be sort of the side meeting where they would go and talk by themselves, but this being the centerpiece is unprecedented.
Yeah, and also it comes against the backdrop of just, you know, a remarkable situation that the president of the United States finds himself in. You know, I get, you know, the thing that I continue to be just amazed by in this whole situation with President Trump is that he's trying to convince all of us, the court of public opinion, that the Russians had no role whatsoever in his election, that he was not, his campaign was not connected to them in any way, shape, or form. If that were the case, wouldn't you go out of your way to make sure that you weren't attempting to cozy up to Vladimir Putin?
Right.
And, you know, the other thing that I thought was fascinating watching the body language between both leaders this morning, we've seen President Trump now meet with foreign leaders on a pretty consistent basis here over the past 3 weeks or 3 months. Is there ever a picture you see where it appears that the other foreign leader is the one who has the upper hand on Donald Trump?
Right.
He always is the one that exudes confidence and seems as though he's the person in charge. You get the complete opposite feel in terms of body language with this meeting. It's just remarkable to see it all play out.
Ryan, what does Russia want to get out of this meeting? Because, as you just mentioned, I mean, obviously they have a different kind of relationship with this president. What is Russia's goal in having this meeting?
Well, I think that much like Kim Jong-un, you know, Vladimir Putin wins this meeting the second Donald Trump and he appear together on the same level. The fact that they can even say that this meeting took place because, you know, you have to think about the backdrop of this meeting. Prior to the president deciding that this was going to happen, you know, Vladimir Putin, to a large extent, was isolated from the rest of the world. He'd been kicked out of the G8. After the annexation of Crimea, they've been isolated in many respects economically because of sanctions. Basically, the rest of the world isn't playing with Vladimir Putin. He's not getting an audience with other world leaders of industrialized democracies. And now, all of a sudden, with basically the snap of a finger, because Donald Trump felt compelled to do so, he gets this meeting with President Trump.
You're exactly right. He's elevated him. He's elevated him again, as with North Korea, to a place that isn't deserved or warranted. You got to remember, the Russian economy is equivalent in size to some American states. So we've blown that way out of proportion. They need us more than we need them by a mile and a half. And the sanctions relief that Putin's going to be looking for is nothing he should get until he gives on Syria, Iran, and all the other nonsense he's involved with.
And that's right. I mean, you talk about all these things that Vladimir Putin can get out of this. I mean, there's a ton of things that Donald Trump could get out of this if he were, you know, he goes into this meeting with the appearance of the upper hand. Donald Trump and the United States, you know, have the backing of the rest of the world if they were willing to go in there with a confrontational posture and say to Vladimir Putin, either shape up or we're going to isolate you further. But he's done the exact opposite. He's given away that kind of goodwill that he has from the rest of the world after this, you know, very contentious NATO meeting, and basically said, you know, hey, you know, we're going to forget about all of that. You know, the president seems to be very forward thinking in this relationship with Vladimir Putin and is forgetting about the ugly past between the two countries. And you can't forget about the past when you're dealing with someone like Vladimir Putin, as George W. Bush learned when he looked into his eyes and thought he saw somebody he could trust. You know, Vladimir Putin has never been someone who's been trustworthy on the world stage. So even if he agreed to things like pulling out of Syria or helping to disarm Assad, or, you know, if he made some agreement on oil prices or something down the line, he never follows through on any of those points. So the idea that you can just go in there without any kind of caveat to this meeting and come out with a victory seems like a fantasy. But, you know, as always works with Donald Trump, he somehow believes that he can pull off this fantasy and somehow make the world a safer place.
It makes your head hurt. It just really does. Hold your breath, people. We'll come back in a second. And still to come as well, oh, the conspiracy guy's still on hold. I should probably check in with him, too. He's been on hold for an hour and a half. Ryan Doubles is here. A couple other points, Ryan. First off, when this conversation comes up about President Trump doesn't want to admit Russians tampered with the election because he doesn't want to admit that the election could have been tipped because of it, I couldn't give a rat's behind about that part of the argument. Because he is the president. The argument about this that I always have is they interfered with the election. That's the issue. Not whether or not it tipped the election. The election's over. They interfered with the election. That's the question. But this is what Donald Trump does. He brings up stuff where you have to go, okay, wait, man, let me try to think about this now. What did he say? With the Obama thing this weekend, that it's Obama's fault? Listen, Obama blew it. Obama should have been tougher on the Russians. He absolutely should have been. But he's not the president anymore. He's not the president. You are. Fix it.
Steve, I talk to Democrats all the time, hardcore Democrats, people that hate Donald Trump, and I've never once heard a Democrat of any ilk suggest that because the Russians interfered with the election, that means we should take the presidency away from Donald Trump. No one's ever made that argument.
Exactly.
You know, everyone gives him the full credit for being the president of the United States, for winning the election based on the terms of how these elections are won and fought, and everyone pleads with him. You know, you talk to these top Democrats on the House and Senate Intelligence Committee, and they plead with the president to say, this isn't about you. This is about the future of our democracy. We've got to figure this out. We've got to specifically point out exactly what went wrong during this election so we can protect ourselves from this ever happening again. We want to protect you, essentially, President Trump, from it happening to you, because the Russians may be your friend tomorrow, but they could easily be your foe the next day. And he just doesn't seem to wrap his mind around it. And that's one I think is just fascinating about Donald Trump, because he appears to be a man with extreme self-confidence. But this is clearly an area where he is lacking in a full the full breadth of that confidence, because he just seems to, for some reason, have an issue with people not thinking that his election was won legitimately. And my answer to that would be, you know, Mr. President, that's on you. We got to figure this out.
Without a doubt. All right. We got to fly because we're late. But is there any good news about these kids being reunited with their parents?
In Thailand? Is that what we're talking about?
No. The kids who are separated at the border.
About the immigration kids, yeah. So they've got, there's been a numerous group of court hearings happening this week. It seems as though it is progressing. It is very incremental, and it is much slower than many of the people on the border hoped it was going to happen. But I think the broader picture on this is that the administration is following through on that promise. It's going to take a lot longer, and it likely means that many of these families are likely going back to their home countries in order, you know, going to cut deals basically for deportation to make it happen. But it is happening. It's much slower than anybody thought it should happen, but it is happening, and the zero tolerance policy is over with. So going forward, these families shouldn't be separated anymore.
Ryan Noble, CNN. Let us know if Vladimir does something we need to know about, will you?
Okay, I will. Check your Twitter. Be ready for that.
Call us on the red phone. News next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey.
It's Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Dean, on your own show, I'm sure you've had this where you get a caller, and while you appreciate the listening and the support, they just won't go away, and they call all the time. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you know what I'm saying. I have all the switches in the right place. He's supposed to appear.
I know what you're saying,
Steve. He's supposed to be there. Dean's supposed to be there. He's not there. Well, we'll try to figure out the Dean piece. Anyway, the guy. Conspiracy guy. He's still on the phone.
Let me explain. They're talking about dissolving the national powers. You see what I'm saying? They're going to get rid of national boundaries. They're going to cut the cheddar curtain all over the world.
Right.
It's a secret group controlling the world. They're called the Illuminati. You got this?
The Illuminati.
The Illuminati.
Okay.
They're going for total control throughout the entire universe.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it is that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is that. And is that any relation to the Illuminati?
No. No, it's okay. A separate issue.
Separate, okay.
Separate issue. All separate right. issue.
Do you have any theories as to why Dean Richards wasn't available this morning when I went to him on the show?
Dean Richards doesn't exist. Listen.
Okay, he's going to probably tell us why that is occurring.
Has he been talking this whole time?
He's been talking for an hour and a half. The conspiracy theory guy. You know Alex Jones? You've heard of that guy, right?
Yeah.
This is the guy Alex Jones says is nuts.
Yeah.
That's who this guy is, the conspiracy theory guy. All right, we're trying to hook up with Channel 9 and hook up with Dean. Do we have him?
I'm right here.
There you are.
Been here the whole time.
Well, I couldn't hear you.
Not according to the conspiracy guy. He says you don't exist.
Yeah, couldn't hear you.
I'm going with the technical guy who gave me about 20 different things that broke during my show yesterday. I'm saying that some things are not technically set.
Anybody see Dean on TV this morning and say, what's different about Dean? Anyone? Anyone?
No.
Anyone? No glasses.
Did you get LASIK?
I did not get LASIK. I'm getting my glasses adjusted. It's taking a little longer than
Oh, they're in the shop.
So they're in the shop. So I'm wearing contact lenses for the first time in about 15 years.
Wow.
But what I'm doing is I've got one contact lens for distance and one for reading. So two different prescriptions. So I've been pretty much like bumping into everything for the last week or so.
Aren't you impressed that I noticed?
I am impressed because normally you don't even look at my eyes. How many times have I said, Steve, my eyes are up here?
You did.
Yeah, it
you
did. A lot, yeah.
My husband has those same contacts.
The bifocals.
One is.
He's got Dean's contacts?
Yeah, he has Dean's.
We share them.
They share.
He wears them Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
But basically, we have some eyes that he can't see great any time. When he's got the contacts in, because one only helps one, and who looks out of one eye and then the other, you know?
I only wear one contact.
They say you get used to it.
Really?
You only wear one?
Yeah, because I had LASIK surgery that kind of didn't do well.
Right.
So I had one fixed and one not, because my cornea was too flat to fix it.
Why don't you walk in a circle? I would think you'd just walk around in a tiny circle all day.
One eye is better than the other. I just got to remember which one the contact is in to take it out, but...
Wow.
It's a pain because I had LASIK many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, something.
I had it when it first came out, yeah.
Yeah, mine was pretty much then also, and I guess, you know, just with aging.
See, this is good to know, and I feel like at the time when LASIK was hot 15 years ago, that was my question. I was saying, why don't we wait 15 years and see how people who were the first... You know, the beginners, the pioneers.
Andy Mazur's here for Dave. You still wear glasses. You're old school.
Yeah, I've got the progressives, the bifocal. Because I can see
That's the name of the guy that gave you the glasses, the progressives?
Exactly. I can see you fine.
Okay.
Can't see anything right in front of my face.
I got it.
So essentially what we're hearing is once you get maybe past 40 years old,
40 is the magic number.
Yeah, this is
the only thing that works on me are my eyes. Everything else is broken.
Until you get the cataract surgery, then, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The hair is gone, and everything all the way to the feet are bad, but the eyes work. Yeah, that's it. Downtown Abbey. Everything's Abbey when you're downtown. Frozen 2 The Rock's rough weekend. Billy Corgan, Patricia Clarkson.
Oh, Patricia Clarkson is exceptional today.
All in the news. I also have Sasha Baron Cohen tape you got to hear. So we'll get to all of that coming up here shortly. It's a conspiracy guy still on the phone.
This big, you talk about pharmaceuticals. They're not even, they're like friends. They're not making any friends. The PTAs would.
We'll be back with more in a moment. A helpful texter says the Helsinki meeting is still going on because the truth serum they gave to Trump keeps wearing off every couple of minutes. Every couple of minutes. And
President Obama wasn't even born in the U.S. Do you see what I'm saying? He actually, he's a mummy.
That's the conspiracy guy. He's been talking to Andy since about 6:45 this morning.
Yeah, I heard him on the way in.
Hey, before we go any further, I want to remind you, More on Entertainment is sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
Back with Moron Entertainment. And the ghosts and the machine here in the studio keep...
the ghosts have been rampant the last couple of days.
Turning stuff on, turning it off. The lights just went off. We don't know why.
Thank goodness the sun is out.
Hey, Joe, grab that clip of the Sacha Baron Cohen people, and we'll get to that in a second.
Is from his new show?
Yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen's new Showtime show. What is it called? This Is America? Or I Am America? Something like that. And he asked a bunch of Republican lawmakers, including Joe Walsh. Now, total full disclosure, I know Joe Walsh. I've known him for a long time. And I find him entertaining. And we don't agree on a lot of things. We agree on some things. We don't agree on a lot of things. But I think he is amongst the far right.
Who is
actually
America?
A little more balanced.
Sorry.
Who is America? That's the name of the show?
Who is America?
Who is America? So anyway, Sacha Baron Cohen dressed up in disguise. He fooled Sarah Palin and a bunch of other people, and they got really upset. And Joe Walsh said he was upset. Now he's making fun of himself. I think the debut of the show is coming up in a few days.
It was over the weekend.
Sunday. Oh, did they run it this weekend?
Yeah. I saw the clip. I saw the clip with Joe Walsh.
Here's the clip right now that you speak of, Justin. This is about five-year-olds and guns.
Typically, members of Congress don't just hear a story about a program and then indicate whether they support it or not.
I support the kindergartens program. We in America would be wise to implement it, too. It's something that we should think about in America, about putting guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens, good guys, whether they be teachers or whether they actually be talented children or highly trained preschoolers.
Maybe having young people trained and understand how to defend themselves in their school might actually make us safer here.
A three-year-old cannot defend itself from an assault rifle by throwing a Hello Kitty pencil case at it. Our founding fathers did not put an age limit on the Second Amendment.
The intensive three-week kindergarten course introduces specially selected children from 12 to 4 years old to pistols, rifles, semi-automatics, and a rudimentary knowledge of mortars. In less than a month.
Is he doing a bit?
Less than a month, a first grader can become a first grenader.
A first grader can become a first grenader.
The setup on that is Sacha Baron Cohen's character is talking about in Israel they have this plan to that toddlers are armed, and that's what he's selling to everybody.
Well,
in the
interviews. It's been discussed here. And, it's been kicked around by the NRA.
Well, this idea that, I mean, it's absurd, of course, but the way he would say is he said something to the effect of, you know, what about arming kids, you know, from 17 to 3? And there were some people in it for the balance of the story. Some people there didn't take the bait. Some of the more...
Well, Matt Gaetz is a California congressman who is a hard Trump supporter. He seemed to get it on some level. Trent Lott, the former Mississippi senator, he was all in. Congressman Joe Wilson was all in. Joe Walsh was all in.
Well, Joe Walsh came out in the paper on Friday saying he was duped and, you know, he knew something was up, but he wasn't sure. But then when you watch this... He's direct address reading a teleprompter. He's reading whatever Sacha Baron Cohen read them. So I'm like, where in your radar did it go off that you realize it might be wrong, but I'll read it anyway.
Joe, this is the same show, by the way, where Dick Cheney is autographing a waterboarding kit.
Hilarious.
But the thing I like about Joe is he's now making fun of himself.
Yeah, I think he realized that he went all in. It's one thing to be duped and kind of like, oh, well, but this is way past that.
Patricia Clarkson is in love with Justin Timberlake. What do we know?
Well, she went on Andy Cohen's show on Bravo and was talking about how gifted he is, shall we say. Listen to the clip from the Andy Cohen show first.
Well, I had the good fortune to get to see him all there because they were shooting a scene that they couldn't keep
right,
anything
they couldn't
on.
Cover it. What?
And they couldn't. Yes, he is a gorgeous man.
Wow, he's gifted below the waist.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
So that's what Patricia Clarkson revealed.
Something about, made Andy Cohen's evening.
About Justin Timberlake. She was in Chicago over the weekend, and I talked to her. She's part of this new HBO series, Sharp Objects, which is like super gritty and is quite good. And we talked about all of that, but then I was just wondering if there was any follow-up to her Justin Timberlake disclosure, and this is what she said.
That was a low point. He's such a brilliant talent.
Just was there any
he's
fallout?
A beautiful, brilliant talent. Yeah. He's an exceptionally talented man. I just he's a really and a stunning man. And no, I can't. It was a goofy moment. And I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying it's.
So she's standing by her comments there.
She still seems torn. We have one more celebrity sighting, and that's Sandberg, who cited the latest episode of that Kristen Cavallari nonsense.
Very Cavallari. Did you watch it, Dean?
I did not.
It was another, they brought it again. Jay Cutler, a real standout.
In his disinterest?
His disinterest, and his he is wanting to fire her staff because they're not capable. He said that their fish are thriving at the house. He's also buying them a new house, even though she didn't agree. And then he was watching more deer again. Deer, you know.
That's what he's doing in his retirement. He's staring at deer.
Yes.
But she says he's so funny. Is he funny?
He is funny. He's the best one. Yeah. He's.
The thing is, every reality show looks the same to me, Dean. And they all look like they cost $8.
That's why I don't.
It's shot really well.
There's a guy, and then the guy with the camera follows you around, and you say incredibly witty things that just happen to happen.
You'll care more once Kristen Cavallari becomes president of the United States.
I'm voting for her.
Yes, you'll. Yeah. I'm going to force you to watch. Remember how much you liked that promo I made you watch?
Yes, I'll watch it.
Okay.
All right, I'll watch it.
Also, Kate Upton is pregnant.
Well, congratulations.
Yep. So that's very exciting.
We'll be in a track.
Justin Verlander?
Justin Verlander.
Yep. So Justin Verlander and Kate Upton are pregnant.
They are, but she's the one with the baby in the belly.
But I wouldn't know. It took me a second to go, is she still with Justin Verlander?
I don't think you understand how it works. When mommy and daddy love each other very much.
But I feel like to understand that power couple.
I like to do the math on that because they got married, you know, the day after the World Series, basically, in Italy.
Okay.
And so she's pregnant now.
When does she do?
I wasn't given a delivery date yet.
She's your friend. Let's get on.
I know. So I'm working on it.
Frozen 2. I can't say this on the air, but I'm going to New York next week, Dean. I may end up seeing Frozen on Broadway.
You should see it on Broadway. Are you taking your granddaughter?
You never know. There's rumors.
Yeah. You should see it on Broadway. They're working on Frozen 2 right now.
And that's Frozen 2 all thought out. That's the. That's the subtitle, Frozen 2, all thought out.
The actual full title, Frozen 2, More Annoying Songs for the Parents, will include the originals.
The only time I've heard Anna DeVlantis really let some cursing fly. Anna DeVlantis, beautiful little girl who is nuts for Frozen, like all little girls are. And we were talking about Frozen 2 coming out in the hallway, and she let it fly like a sailor in a port. It was very impressive.
Yeah, some parents will react very Pavlovian. about that, but I'm actually more interested that you see Anna in the hallway, and that's what you're talking about?
Right,
yes.
Frozen.
With your old friend about Frozen 2?
Yeah, well, you know, the good stuff.
On Saturday night, we watched Wonder, you know, that movie.
I like that movie.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, and so Patrick said after, it's a good movie, but I wish it had a little more things like Frozen in it to be a little lighthearted. But that was his
he's
review.
Right. He's not wrong.
A little Frozen anecdote.
Yeah, every movie could use a little Frozen.
The originals are going to be back in Frozen, but also they're talking with Evan Rachel Wood and Sterling K. Brown about joining the voice cast with them.
We're going to get a Downton Abbey movie. The Rock movie, Bond?
Big time. Only came in number three.
Only one that liked it was Justin.
It's the worst opening for The Rock in decades for a brand new movie.
But he's okay. He survived.
I'm pretty sure that he probably
because that building looked like it was going to go.
Yeah, that's right. Just jumping from building to building, you think he would come in with a better number. Number one movie of the weekend was Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation. Kids movies.
Dean's talking about our friend Billy Corgan on TV this morning as well. All right, buddy. Thank you.
See ya.
That's Dean, and we're back with the headlines next and the continuation of the summit that will never end in Helsinki, Finland on 720 WGN. Every shooting's a tragedy, and another one this weekend, which led to some incredibly tense times on the South Side, and a release of a police video in short order yesterday, which seemed to indicate what the police were saying to be true. However, the protests continue, and no end in sight. Background information on the same by Jeremy Gorner now from your Chicago Sun-Times. Good morning, Jeremy.
Tribune, yeah.
I mean, Tribune. I apologize.
Hey, how are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for being on.
Sure.
So let's go back to people that maybe are out of town or weren't connecting with the story immediately. How did this happen and what happened?
Yes, Steve. So Herath Augustus was walking down the street over near 71st Street and Jeffrey Boulevard, which is in South Shore community. He was approached by a couple of officers who are on foot patrol. It appears to be a group of probationary police officers, or at least one of them was a probationary police officer, which means that they were recently recent graduates from the police academy, probably within the last 2 years. They assign these officers to foot patrols in neighborhoods that have a propensity for violence. And they're walking down the street on Saturday, and they see Mr. Augustus. And according to the police narrative, he was there was a gun in a holster protruding from his waistband, from underneath his t-shirt. So if you look at the body camera video, there's no sound in the 30-second snippet that the department sent to the media. There's no sound. You really can't tell what the exchanges are about. But one of the officers you could see is pointing towards his waistband, basically, evidently inquiring him about what's underneath there. And
Is that when he took off running?
Yeah. I mean, for like 2 seconds, you see him, try to go in between two cars, one of them a police car. And according to the video speaks for itself, he turns around, kind of spins, and, the video basically shows that he's, motioning into his hand into the right side of his waistband towards this gun. And that's when the police open fire. So the reason that they released this video when they did, this is the soonest that we can think of when the police department or the city has released footage of a police-involved shooting, because on Saturday night, obviously, there were all these protests right after the shooting happened in the neighborhood. The police were getting bottles thrown at them, some filled with urine. The police had to get their batons out. And according to the police department, a lot of this was fueled by some false information that went over social media, sure, that was circulating among the crowd, that Mr. Augustus was, in fact, unarmed. The video shows that he was armed, but whether the shooting was, obviously the shooting's under investigation by the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. They investigate police-involved shootings to determine whether they were justified. That's still under investigation.
And it'll take a while for that to reach its conclusion, as they always do, but the fast turnaround probably saved some additional violence or potential violence yesterday.
Well,
release of the video.
Right, after the video was released, there were some more protests in South Shore. I didn't cover that angle of it, but to my understanding, they were largely peaceful. And the crowds didn't swell as much as they did, so rapidly like they did Saturday night, when there were violent protests.
Jeremy, the protests that happened after the fact, the protesters say that the that this was there was an aggressive, tense moment, but it was the police who jumped to barricades and started using batons. That certain points, they were swinging their baton and asking questions later. For you as a reporter, as you use the word narrative, is this what we're going to see? Sort of what the police account is and what the protesters' account is.
I mean, oftentimes, there's, a lot of groups out there who have demanded reform within the police department and have demanded, and as you saw, after the Laquan McDonald shooting, there were, some of these groups who were protesting later in the night on Saturday at the police station in the neighborhood, have long protested, what they perceive as the police being a little too heavy-handed, especially when it comes to their treatment of African Americans, and that was reflected.
Look, we got clipped on his phone line. Let's hang for a second, see if he comes back. Jeremy?
Yeah,
we lost you there for just a second. That was reflected in what?
In the Department of Justice report that came out after the Laquan McDonald shooting, right. That there's still a lot of tension between the police and the black community. Regardless of whether whenever the police use force, there's always going to be there's going to be protests, questioning whether it was justified, because oftentimes the narrative that gets out there is from the police department itself, and then we have to wait months, sometimes a couple of years, to actually find out what the facts really were through an investigation from COPA.
Well, there's two sides, right? Because the anger is cumulative. Right. Justin, you brought this point up earlier this morning. The anger is cumulative and may not apply to the circumstance of this situation, but the protests are not just isolated to this situation. And if it's true that the police acted in an appropriate manner, that'll come out in the investigation. But of what I know of the police in a circumstance like this, they're not trained to wait to see if you're going to pull the gun and if you're going to fire. Because if an officer's life is in danger or perceived to be in danger or the public's in danger, they're trained to shoot.
Right. And, so one of the things that came up, Steve, yesterday is... So Mr. Augustus, according to what the video appears to show, is that he had a gun in a holster. That's what it appears to show. So people were like, okay, well, did he have a concealed carry permit? Did he have a firearm owner's identification card? Eddie Johnson at the press conference was very careful about, not offering an opinion on whether he thought the shooting was justified. But what he did say was that, regardless of whether you are a concealed carry holder or not, if the police approach you and they want to question you about, hey, why do you have a gun, on your waistband? What Johnson was saying is that, just let go of the gun, because if it goes to court, it could get straightened out in court, because, what you saw in this situation with Mr. Augustus was a loss of life. Basically. So, yeah, they are protected by law, meaning that they don't have to wait, for somebody else to shoot them, basically.
No, they can't. It doesn't work that way.
The other question protesters may have is that, I believe great transparency and we are moving forward as a society to have the police tape come out the day after as opposed to 300 days later. But the concept, why 30 seconds? Why no sound? Why just this snippet?
Right, so that's kind of that's the thing, is that, so yes, they released the video within 24 hours. We've never seen that before, right? But it was a 30-second video. There was no sound. They blurred out the images, okay? And so one may think, so I saw an argument somebody made over social media that this isn't transparency, this is public relations. They're doing this to quell, a tense community, but they're not...
Well, they have to respond, because there's no win there. Because if they don't say anything, then they're going to be, what are you hiding?
Right.
Of course. But then, of course, there's, that was a question that arose as far as, what Justin's saying about... just the fact that there was no sound in, with the video, and that the images were blurted out. Usually when they release body camera footage, they don't blur out the images, for instance. But as far as why there was no sound, so these body cameras have a 30-second buffer where it takes a while for the sound to kick in
Didn't know that.
Once they activate the body camera. Now, I asked at the press conference yesterday, I was like, well, you know, why is that? Because I've noticed that with body camera footage is that, you know, after it takes a little while for the sound to actually kick in once it's activated. And I was basically told that we have to ask the manufacturer why that is. I don't know if that's a fault in the design. I don't know if that's, you know, just...
Yeah, that does seem to be an issue because you need real time. Look, all of this is going to take a while to figure out. But if there's one lesson you can learn from this, and life isn't this simple, but if you have the police questioning you and you run, you are creating a tension that didn't exist prior to you running. There are things that can be worked out that can't be worked out once the situation is elevated to potential violence. And if they say, is that a gun, and then you run, a lot of bad things can happen, and this time they did.
Right. And, I think that in this situation, obviously, they got to let all the facts play out. They have to still talk to witnesses. They're not going to base their entire COPA is not going to base their entire investigation solely on this video. But
nor should they.
But again, the aim here, I think, from the police department standpoint, they were saying this is because everything got so tense and out of hand after the shooting Saturday night. They had to do something.
Yeah, basically. Totally agree. Jeremy, great work by you, and not an easy beat to cover. So we look forward to follow-up coverage from you, and thanks for jumping on short notice.
No problem. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, glad to be here.
Jeremy Garner, and follow him on social media as well.
And now it's time for Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
Subtle. Very subtle. Very quiet about this. We don't make a big deal about this.
Answer Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
It's funny. That guy talks like that. Everything he says is an echo. Yeah, that's the way it works. Let's go live to Super Joe Romano. Super Joe, what is today's White Sox question?
All right, tomorrow night, Jose Abreu will become the first White Sox position player to start in the All-Star game since Frank Thomas did in 1995.
That seems crazy, doesn't it?
That's good. Three pitchers,
what they think of voting.
Three pitchers have represented the Sox as the American League starters since then. White Sox starters have represented the American League since then. Name two.
Two of the three starters from the Sox... They represented the American League.
Yeah, DeCoste knows that one.
DeCoste is not one of them.
He's not?
He's not one of them. Name two of the three, and you will be a big winner. 312-981-7200 is the number. We're back with the news and the winner next. We've got ourselves a winner, I do believe. Let me go to Maggie in Bridgeport. Good morning, Maggie.
Hi.
You a White Sox fan? You better be in Bridgeport.
We are.
Been to a few games?
Not as many this year as we'd hope.
Well, let's get you to one right now. If you can tell us the answer to Joe's question. Joe, what is the question again?
Three White Sox starters have pitched to start the All-Star game since 1995, the last time they had a position player start in the game. Name two of them.
Chris Sale and Mark Burley.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. There you go. Who is the third? Do you know the third?
You know, I don't.
I would say Jose Contreras.
Nope.
Nope.
No.
I can tell you who it rhymes with. It rhymes with Esteban Loaiza.
It rhymes with Steve Loaiza.
That's right. Yeah. Esteban Loaiza.
Esteban Loaiza.
2003.
Ding, ding, ding.
Now, you get the tickets, but if you had known all three, we would have given you 50% of the proceeds from the season that the team will generate at the box office.
I think the tickets are better this year, unfortunately.
Well, here you go. You got four tickets to the Sox and the Blue Jays 1 week from Friday night, and tune in every Monday morning when Subtle Joe Romano again gives you the Subtle Joe Romano question of the week. Hold the line, and thank you for listening.
All right, thank you.
All right, stand by. We'll get to the news. Are we doing the news right now? We're doing this right now. Holy cow.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Live from 303 East Wacker, high above the street on the 18th floor. How about this view, Andy Mazur?
This is not too shabby. This is a view you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
We get for free.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't pay.
Well, exactly.
The others pay.
Good point.
We have a studio full of folks here, starting with Emily Coronas, Josiah Ward, and Emma Ward. The 4-H folks are here. 4-H kids with reptiles and bunnies. And the Lake County Fair is on. So, Emily, tell me about the fair.
So this is going to be our 90th annual in Grays Lake. Yep, yeah. 90 years. And this year we're bringing some new stuff. We have a Timberworks Lumberjack Show, so that's going to be exciting.
You need me for that, the Lumberjack Show? You want me to go out and split some wood?
We can put you in the demo derby if you'd like.
I think that was an insult. I'm not sure. And this is going to happen when?
It goes Wednesday, July 25th through Sunday the 29th in Grays Lake.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. Where in Grays Lake?
It is off of Peterson and Midlothian, so about a two-minute walk from the Metro train station, so Perfect. Even our city folks can make their way out there.
And are the 4-H folks going to get a big enough spread for everything they do?
Oh, absolutely. They definitely take over our barns and about half of our expo hall with everything they like to bring out for us.
Josiah, how old are you, Josiah?
I'm 8.
And I heard something a moment ago that you don't normally hear in the studio, Justin, and your son is 10, so maybe you've heard this at home. Josiah said, "Mom, can I have my bunny?"
That's right.
So is that your bunny?
Yeah.
What's the bunny's name?
I have Brownie.
But that's Brownie there. What kind of bunny is Brownie?
She is a Hollemop.
What does that mean? That's
she has
a breed?
The floppy ears.
It's called a Hollemop?
Hollemop.
Oh, sure, what you said. And how old is the bunny?
We've had her for 7 years.
Is that about to, you know, middle age for a bunny, or how long do bunnies live?
They live about 8 years.
And Josiah, what do you have to do?
Hold on a second, dude. Hold on. Let's pause for a second.
Yeah, right. We're getting close. What do you have to do to take care of the bunny?
Well, every day we have to give her the feed and water.
And what does the bunny eat?
Bunny pellets.
And what are bunny pellets made of? Is it mostly like, spam?
I don't know.
Yeah. Bunny food. Yeah. That's a big bunny. How much does that dude weigh?
I don't know. What? We don't weigh our
4 pounds?
Bunnies.
4 pounds? Apparently you do, dude, because Mom just told me 4 pounds. And are you a big help, or do you make Mom take care of the bunny?
Both.
Okay. If you don't have to get up too early. Yeah. And what makes you have the skill to be a bunny wrangler?
4-H.
4-H, there you go. And you know what the 4-Hs stand for?
Something.
Yep, that's exactly right. They stand for something. That's why we're putting the pressure on Emma. Emma Ward is here. Emma, you are in high school?
Yes.
What year?
I am entering sophomore.
Going to be sophomore. What school?
I'm actually homeschooled.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, you know the deal with homeschool is a great football team.
Yeah, very good football team.
And what do you want to be when you grow up?
I actually want to be a large animal veterinarian.
Oh, very nice. You know, our friend Dr. Sam takes care of critters of all sizes. Always loved animals?
Yes, ever since I was little. Been going to the Lake County Fair, and one year... we were talking to a girl, and she told us that she was in 4-H, and she showed her rabbits. And, you know, I think I was 7 at the time, almost 8. And when you hear something when you're a kid, that's the only thing you're interested
in. Stuck in your head.
Yeah, exactly. So we joined 4-H and got the bunnies a couple months later, and they kind of started it all. Now we have over 120 animals, and we live on our own farm.
How about the reptile portion of this? Where does that come from?
My mom, actually, we've had... our very first pet, my mom calls it her first child, we've had since before I was born.
And that pet is?
He was a snake. We don't have him anymore.
Okay, your mom seems really normal. What is she doing hanging around with snakes?
Well, she's a teacher by trade, okay. But she stopped to homeschool us and, you know, work on a farm.
Okay.
So.
And you brought a snake in, and I wanted to like you and be your friend, and then you brought a snake in, and the snake is what kind of snake?
She's a corn snake.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
They're actually a very popular pet. They're very,
pet?
Yeah, I say small. It's small for me. We used to have a ball python. That was our first snake.
You had a python at home?
Yep. Yes.
I want your mom in prison immediately. I want her locked up. No, it sounds like you have a fun house.
Yeah, we've definitely got a lot going on.
Okay, but with all those different critters,
I know.
Pythons, you know.
And Emma, you have the corn snake in your hand right now.
Yes.
What do you have to do to, you said they're great as pets. Is there something you have to do to make them great pets, or like with training and things like that, or they just come with the right temperament to be good around humans?
She is 12, and I've had her for about 4 years, but previously my 4-H leader actually owned her, so, and she handled her since she was a baby.
What's a corn snake eat?
They eat mice. So if you want to come over and help me feed her anytime.
There's really not a chance of that happening at all. What about you? Do you know what 4-H stands for?
Heads, heart, hand, and health.
There you go. We clap as if we know if that's right or not. But
actually, I was a 4-H guy. Yeah,
I was a 4-H guy, but I forgot the
H's. You skipped?
I forgot the H's just over time, that information. And I love 4-H and everything that you do. The Lake County Fair, the concept, I mean, fairs have changed dramatically since I was in 4-H. Used to be all about 4-H. Now there are all sorts of things that are happening every which way. How important is it to still have the 4-H and that concept at the Lake County Fair?
Oh, I think it's the most important thing because Lake County used to be agricultural all, and sure. Now bringing in the new things, but we like to keep our heritage, so having all the tractors and all the kids with their animals is my number one favorite.
Have you guys ever met Orion Samuelson? No? Orion Samuelson, the king of all farms. Orion Samuelson is our agricultural reporter, and he was in 4-H when he was a little boy, which Andy, I believe, was 1845?
1845 is correct.
Yeah, something like that. Well, it's nice to have you here. You're on CLTV as well. Where's the closest camera? Because I want you to keep a hold of that snake.
Yeah.
But hold the snake
hand up. There you go.
There you go.
Look at that.
And and Bugs Bunny, can we see Bugs Bunny as well on camera?
There we go.
Look, don't get him too close to the snake.
Do they get along? Do the bunnies and the snakes
get
along?
Too close to the snake.
The snake is just a little. It's little for me, but she's about 4 feet long.
Really?
So the bunny is actually would probably scare the snake more than the snake scares the bunny.
I got to tell you, Mom, where'd you go, Mom? I really respect the fact that you've instilled this love of animals in these kids. So good for you. So it's a lifetime gift. Thanks. And did you grow up on a farm?
We did not grow up on a farm. We are from Waukegan, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And through 4-H, we just started adding more and more animals.
How many do you have at your home?
Over 120. So we have goats, pigs, ducks, chickens, turkeys that will all be at the Lake County Fair.
And does everyone have a name?
Yes. They do all have names, yes. Emma, I think, is the one in their family who probably knows that each and every one of them.
I know a lot of them.
And you do?
Absolutely a lot of them.
Yeah. But Donnie, Marie,
everything from
Greg,
the snakes
Peter.
At the fair to the goats.
All right. And what's your favorite animal? Mom of 1,200 or 100.
Mamas can't pick a favorite.
You don't have a favorite. Okay. We're going to get to see the Fair Queens in here as well, Lake County Fair Queen. And a new queen. Is a new queen about to be named? Is that how this is going to work?
Yeah. So Wednesday night, they're going to name the new queen. And then our junior and our little miss get named on Thursday.
All right, so let's take a break, and then these guys will jump in, and we'll meet them as well. What's the website for the Lake County Fair?
LCFair.com, and they can also visit our Facebook page.
How do you think the show's going so far? You feel pretty good about your appearance
here?
Pretty
good. We're about a week out now, so.
You think this is a good plug for you, though? You feel pretty good about it?
Yeah.
I think you're doing fine. Yeah, I mean, you got snakes and bunnies running around here. It's craziness. More in just a moment, and we'll talk about the Andy Mazur exhibit. We're going to put Andy on at the fair and just have people look at him.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood.
924, live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show continues. That's Justin. That's Andy in for Dave Ennett. And we are surrounded by people in crowns now. Gracelyn Keller is here, 2017-18 Miss Lake County Fair Queen. Adriana Demos. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? It was close.
No, it was correct.
All right. Adriana Demos, Jr., Miss Lake County Fair Queen, and Mia Green, Little Miss Lake County Fair Queen. Mia, let me start with you. How old are you?
I am 9 years old.
And what do you do for a living? You have a job?
No.
Still sponging off your parents, huh? Pretty much. Pretty much. You have beautiful eyes.
Thank you. People tell
you that all the time?
No.
Oh, I bet you hear it some. How did you become Little Miss Lake County?
Well, I competed in the fair pageant at the Lake County Fair.
Uh-huh.
And
you won. Well, there you go. It's a pretty good plan. And what did you have to do in the pageant?
So you have to memorize a speech.
Okay.
And they give you pop questions. And before the pageant, you have an interview
where
the judges ask you questions.
Do you remember what some of the questions were?
No.
You don't have to. You won.
That's right. No comment.
And so is your reign coming to an end?
Yes.
Okay, so all you guys next week have to give up the crowns. Adriana, how's it been? How's the year been?
It's been very good. I'm going to miss every second of it, but
It's been the best year ever. A lot of events around Lake County that we've been to. Fair Week was my favorite by far. Getting to hand out ribbons to the 4-H animals.
Sure.
Seeing some food.
And making appearances all over.
Yeah, pretty much greeting guests at the gate and everything.
Sure. Is this your first pageant?
Yes.
Yeah. And seated next to you is Miss Lake County Fair Queen. This is Grace Lynn Keller. Grace, are you still in school?
I'm a sophomore at the University of Iowa this coming year.
That's Iowa. That's the flying horned frogs, Andy.
Yeah.
Right. Of, Iowa.
Sometimes they're called the Hawkeyes.
What, what are you studying? What are you studying? What's your major?
Journalism and mass communication. So hopefully one day being a broadcaster like you.
Yeah, but you're probably going to do television, right?
Yeah, that's my dream.
Yeah, which would be great.
Thank you.
You're interested in news then?
Yeah.
What do you think of the state of the world? It's crazy.
Yeah, things are crazy.
Right?
Interesting times right now.
But when you talk to your friends at school, I'm not going to take this down the wrong road here. When you talk to your friends at school, are they more connected than they were, say, a couple of years ago because of, you know, how threatening things feel in the news?
Oh, for sure. I can definitely tell just in myself. I definitely watch the news. I keep up with things. And sure. I'm of age to vote as well. And that's definitely how we create change as young people. So
let me tell you something right there. Right there. That's what we need.
Everybody
we need
vote.
Everyone to vote, including you old people as well, because I'm going to pick you all up. Everybody's got to vote.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the only way you can have any kind of change. And by the way, I don't care who you vote for. Invest. Invest. Do your research. Decide who your candidates are and vote for them.
Very true.
All right. How many pageants have you done?
A couple, yeah. I've competed for a couple years now, but this has been one of my favorite titles I've held. The year has been amazing, and I've seen so much personal growth, and just I've had a great time being able to represent Lake County, going down to the state fair. I placed the top 15 at the state fair pageant, so that was a great experience.
Nice.
And just having our director, Miss Alice, along the way definitely helped me and helped me grow this year.
She seems very nice. Is she
She's
as nice
wonderful.
As she seems?
Oh, yeah.
And all of you are giving up the crowns next week.
Yep, I'm excited to give the next girl the opportunity, just like I had, and she'll have an amazing year as well.
Are you retiring? Is this your final pageant?
No, I'll be back at some point. I enjoy competing. I get a lot of scholarship, and
sure,
it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's a great thing. Well, it's nice to meet all three of you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, where will this the pageantry take place at the fairgrounds? Any particular area?
Yeah, it's on the Blue Ribbon stage in the Expo Hall, and okay. I believe the Miss Pageant starts at 7 p.m. on the Wednesday of the fair, that first day, and then Thursday is the Junior and Little Pageant at the same time.
What do you think of your cohorts here?
I love them to death. They're my little sisters.
Yeah, they've done a nice job, huh?
Yes, for sure. We've had a wonderful year.
You giving them a few tips?
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope.
I've given Grace a few tips on some things.
Yes. We've all learned from each other.
Right. Well, that's okay, too.
Mia teaches us a lot.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If you need any more information, you simply go to lcfair.com and make sure you get out and support the fair next week. Nice to have all of you here, even the snake. Justin, last word.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to come out. I want to see the pageant. I think there's
definitely
so much misinformation about pageants. We see a lot on reality shows.
Oh,
we don't really
sure.
So how do you combat that? How do you change the perceptions when there seems to be an overriding perceptions of pageants based on what we see on Bravo or whatever?
Well, I think people don't realize what we actually have to do. I mean, to win this title, I had to go through an 8-minute interview with the judges. I had to give a speech that I memorized. Then we compete and we do onstage question and things like that. And so you really have to have those speaking abilities and those transferable skills. And these skills that I've learned through pageantry, I'm going to take into the job force and really use for the rest of my life. So I'm so grateful to have these opportunities to learn and be better for it.
There you go. Grace Lynn, Mia, Adriana, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks to the bunny. Wait, is that another bunny?
There's another bunny.
There's a bonus
every
bunny.
Every time I look over, there's another bunny.
That's unbelievable. We're overrun with them. And you know what happens when more than one bunny gets together? Unbelievable.
They eat my flowers.
So thank you guys for coming again.
Thank you for having us.
It's lcfair.com. And good luck back at school.
Thank you.
Yep. More of the Steve Cochran Show on CLTV coming up in just a second. You know the conspiracy guy is still on the phone? Good morning.
The whole thing is he was never assassinated. He moved with Marilyn Monroe. They live in Del Webb. Are you even listening to me, Steve?
Yes. Yes. No, I am. I am. Did you hear the 4-H kids?
4-H kids, they were wonderful. 4-H program's great, but nobody knew what it meant. It means I pledge to have my head smaller than Steve Cochran, my heart to be in the shape of a heart.
Yes.
my hands to be bigger than my shoe.
Uh-huh.
And
the other one.
Continue to live as unhealthy as I possibly can.
Well, that's sweet. That's really sweet all the way around. Listen, I got to put you on hold for a second. Do you mind? All right. It's 9:31. We're back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
But equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
The 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Live from my computerized communications console. The show continues on CLTV and 720 WGN. A lot of worlds are colliding this week. It's the British Open at Carnoustie. And the British Open makes one think of golf, which makes one think of what you may have seen and played witness to. In the last couple of weeks, Donald Trump was able to visit his place, Turnberry.
Just this weekend, yeah.
Adam Davidson, a cohort of yours from the WBEZ days, which you can tell people more about in a second, joins us on the phone. And Adam Davidson's latest piece for The New Yorker at NewYorker.com does what he does so well, and that's following the money. And good morning to you, Adam. Thanks for being on.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. Trump doesn't spend his own money. He overspends on this golf course by 5 to 10-fold. And it's never going to make a dime. So is this the center of all money laundering, or is that too easy an example?
I mean, look, if you look at what the Trump organization, Trump's business, has done over the last decade, by far, I mean, by hundreds of millions of dollars, the biggest thing they've done is buy and rehab this one golf course in a corner of Scotland, a golf course that has not made money in many, many, many years, both before and after he bought it. So it's just a profound question why a company that very proudly, according to Donald Trump, was built on borrowing money, putting as little money as possible into money-making schemes, would suddenly put hundreds of millions of dollars into a money-losing project. It doesn't make sense. Really confounding. It doesn't make any sense.
Adam, you're covering this through the New Yorker, and you promise a series of columns about the Trump organization, what they do with their money. Where does this idea come from? What's the impetus for this column?
Basically, I mean, like a lot of reporters, you know, David Farenthold at the Washington Post, and
yeah, he did a great piece on Trump and charity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My friends at the Trump Inc. podcast and others. You know, I am of the view, and this isn't everyone's view, that that understanding Trump's business relationships and business practices is really central to this moment in time. So it probably, if there is collusion, or if there is some kind of problematic relationship with Russia, it in my view would likely come through his business practices. But even if, you know, Mueller comes out and says, boy, there's absolutely no evidence that Trump or anyone close to him knew anything about the Russian effort, I still think we've never had a president of the United States. We've had very few senior politicians of any level with the amount of scrutiny and trouble around their businesses. I mean, just as one little example, his casino, the Taj Mahal Casino, was in violation of anti-money laundering rules for its entire existence. It got the largest fine ever for money laundering violations. So this is, we as citizens really need to understand the deals he's made, how he's made them, who he's done business with. I think that is essential.
How do you do it as a reporter when the president himself says, I'm not giving you tax returns, I'm not making any of this stuff public? How does it make your job much more difficult to follow the money when it comes to the Trump organization?
It certainly makes it a lot more difficult. I mean, he's certainly violated all norms for public disclosure of finances. I mean, just any congressperson or governor or senator or even, you know, alderman, we probably know a lot more about their businesses than we do about the Trump organization. But it's not impossible. I mean, you know, the nature of business is that you always work with a partner, typically, especially the kinds of businesses Trump does. And also, you know, he was pretty open about his business practices. We know a lot. There's a lot we don't know. But I will say what we do know is troubling. He did not, you know, one criticism of my approach to reporting I've heard is, well, everyone does weird deals. Everybody.
Not this weird.
Not this weird. He really is a profound outlier in the world of business. I mean, even. Yeah, sorry.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you say in your article, this article about Turnberry, even the way, you know, he finances it, this idea that his business changed after the economy changed in 2008, 2009, that he was a high risk. He's always been high risk when it comes to loans. So he's found different ways to get money for the Trump organization. And that's what's so startling is he's built these relationships. But in Turnberry, he put his own cash up.
It's really puzzling. I mean, if you fundamentally look at how Trump's business has been a very confusing one, you know, it starts out as this kind of outer borough, non-Manhattan-based sort of housing for lower-middle-class families.
Right.
Then it moves into luxury Manhattan real estate. Then it moves into casinos. Then, there's an airline for a while. There's luxury hotels. Then there's a
steaks,
3- and 4-star hotel.
Magazines.
Steaks, water, et cetera. And throughout it all, most businesses don't flip and flop and change their fair, you know, WGN isn't suddenly, you know, selling tractors one year.
Right.
And so if you ask, well, what is his fundamental business throughout? His fundamental business throughout is finding people who want to place money without a lot of questions asked into some kind of business. And he's going to not ask a lot of questions. I would say that is the core of his business.
And that shadiness is exactly what's gotten us to where we are now. And in this case, you make the point in the New Yorker column. Again, the guest is Adam Davidson. You can read this at NewYorker.com. That he did a series of deals in Toronto, Panama, the Dominican Republic, Azerbaijan, and Georgia. And I'm not talking about the one with Atlanta in it. These are the places that he went and found money. This is as shady as anything else. We don't know what Bob Mueller knows. We know he knows more than we do. But everything about this says this is where the majority of your shady money deals is taking place. That he's got money stuffed behind the fake portrait of himself on Time Magazine. You know, there's cubby holes with cash in it. There's a golf cart that's made out of 20s. All of that's got to be true on some level.
Absolutely. I mean, as Justin knows, I started as a reporter in Chicago, looking at Chicago City Hall, and he did stuff that would make even the old alderman blush. I mean, it's really, when I would explain to, you know, lawyers and law enforcement officials precisely how Trump did business. For example, just one case in Azerbaijan with someone he knew was a money laundering partner with Iran's Revolutionary Guard. And this is during the campaign. This is not something he did decades ago. This is recently. Their jaws drop. Forget about morality. It's just bad business to do business with some of the shadiest, corrupt figures in the world. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And again, you got to believe that Mueller's got the tax returns and that Mueller's got, you know, his eyes on all of this, because, Adam, you know this better than anybody. You follow the money, you're going to get to the truth eventually.
Yeah, we're going to eventually know everything. It's just when, and I hope it's sooner than later. So
on
that's
the
why
truth,
I'm doing what I'm doing.
The truth is Donald Trump's kryptonite.
Yeah.
Right? I'm telling you right now. Is there anybody in Chicago that owes you money that you'd like to call out publicly on this highly rated program, or are you good?
There's this guy who used to live in the building I lived in named Justin Kaufman,
okay.
And that guy was
right.
Such a shady crook. I have no idea what happened to him.
What happened to him? He kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
He found new sources. He found new buildings and new sources, right?
Well, Adam, it's great reporting. Keep it up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Let's follow him on social as well and read him in The New Yorker at NewYorker.com.
He's one of the founders of NPR's Planet Money, if you're familiar with that. And he really made his name after 2008 when the economy crashed. He did a lot of great pieces. I think he won a Peabody for explaining in layman's terms what happened with subprime mortgages and the like.
The greens fees at Turnberry, based on this deal, should be somewhere around $47,000 a round.
It's startling.
It's insane.
And you could maybe make an argument there is no collusion, that he didn't do that, but you can understand why there are questions when you have all these shady dealings with people.
No question.
Who specialize in shady dealings.
The money laundering hut. Man, so much stuff to get to today that we didn't get to. The Starbucks sippy cups.
Get to win and get the Mississippi Cups?
High-heeled Crocs. You know about the high-heeled Crocs?
Oh, that sounds like a terrible idea.
The low-heeled ones are.
That's just nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
Bill and a mystery co-host in a moment on 720 WGN. It's that crazy time of year where people are here for a couple days or not. I'm working a full week this week. I'm tired just thinking about it. I mean, come on.
How do you do it?
That's a full week, Steve.
A full week.
That's crazy.
I'm talking Monday through Friday.
Including the middle days.
That's exactly right. And some days I am here till 10:15.
I don't know how anyone does that.
Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Who's your co-host today?
Former Cub third baseman Carmen Fanzone.
Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that coming.
Number 23. Number 23 on your scorecards. Number one in your heart.
Play the trumpet, too, didn't he?
We'll bring the trumpet. We're going to do some Chuck
Mangione. That was his life motto, wasn't it? I'm bringing the trumpet.
I'm bringing the trumpet.
Yeah, and he meant it when he said it. Who's bringing the trumpet? I'm bringing the trumpet.
Didn't he from time to time, Andy, like he would play the Star Spangled Banner before the game on the trumpet and then go play third base?
How about that?
It's amazing.
You and Wendy still in therapy?
Yeah. Working things
She's
out.
She's at Disneyland. So.
She is at Disneyland.
She left
Boy, she
Friday.
Must really be mad.
Her goal is to ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride 1,000 times in a row. No one's
what
ever
does that
done
have
it.
To do with Disneyland?
That's at Disneyland. It's a ride.
That's actually at Disneyland?
Not just some weird fetish.
That's on the way to Disneyland. She's right. Stopping off.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
What are you doing today?
Anabalarala from the WGN-TV Morning News will be in.
Come on. What time is she coming over?
Yeah. That's hard to say.
That's not good for me.
She'll be in at some point during the show.
Yeah, we love Anabalarala.
La 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 la.
See you tomorrow.
She'll be on the Steve.
Oh wait, it's not even 10 o'clock. There you go. See you tomorrow.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I'm throwing you off, man. If I gave you that extra
the sound
extra
of
time.
The stroke.
Yeah, right. And you're right in whatever way you mean that, Steve.